I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of everything and all, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And this week, we are talking Legends. Oh my god, there's a new cast?
It's crazy, I know.
Batman, The Killing Joke.
Woot! A classic. Let's talk about the comic a little bit before we dwell into this.
I'll follow your lead. Ready, go.
Yeah, okay. First of all, when they adapted that comic, they decided that you needed context for characters that you didn't need in a comic book, because a comic book is basically a continuating story. So the comics just start with Barbara Gordon getting shot. There's no Batgirl in the comic at all. Everything that comes with Batgirl, all that front part of the movie, that's something new that they wrote for this movie. And I like to think of this movie as a two-parter, like a TV show, like a special 245-minute episode, because there is a clean break. They want you to be certain where the adaptation of the classic The Killing Joke starts. And I would say that second part, it's so good. But that first part tried to be edgy and meh.
But see, okay, for someone who didn't read the original and didn't really know what to expect, I was pretty well impressed the whole way through, because I needed that setup. Had I not had that setup, I would have been like, holy shit, she got shot.
Yeah, that's the reaction we all had when we read that comic book. It's like, holy shit, she got shot. Oh my god, there's a new Legends cast. You know, it's that kind of surprise that comes to your life.
I didn't realize she was a voyeur with her cameras either. That was kind of hot in the beginning. Snap, snap, snapping away. I'm like, damn, Barbara Gordon.
Okay.
I don't know. I appreciate her. What's with Paris Franz? I mean, come on.
Well, it's Paris and France.
Fucking lame.
Yeah, like I said, all that old part is not
okay. But there's some fun stuff, like her talking to her potentially her gay friend at work. And
yeah,
she's like, because of the yoga, I like yoga.
It was, well, even if I was not engaged in the story, it's a classic Timverse, and it works well. I mean, these guys know how to write those characters, and they have the voice that we're the most accustomed to. I mean, right now, Mark Hamill and I'm just thinking about the voice actor, but they're the same people who write. We hear them, and it means Batman because of these writer did a good job, and it was just not a TV show that disappeared. So, first of all, to have these actors back, great job, love it. But besides that, having these writers, the voice sounds right. They know these characters. They write them well. It's where they felt they needed to step up the edge of Batman and Batgirl and that relationship all of a sudden.
You mean like the hot sex scene?
Of course. And yes, but the relationship. I mean, they're getting to that relationship really fast just before that happens. For it to have meant something, it should have, you know, be fun so that you're engaged in it in some ways. And you can't really go too abusive, because he's not the Joker and Harley Quinn, you know? He's still Batman. He's still a good guy in some way, even if he's an asshole, you know? So I thought the subject that they chose didn't let them... did the format of quote-unquote anime cartoon did not give them the space to explore the character the way the story they chose would have asked for.
True, but you at least got to see that there was more feeling than the robotic Batman and whatnot. He still was moving forward and trying to, I don't know. He had feelings other than just being, I'm Batman. My parents are dead. Yes, but she was an idiot, though. And that whole beginning part, you know, like...
Yeah.
The girl's like scavenger hunts, and she's following all these clues from, obviously, douchebag who's trying to do some evil shit.
That was Saturday morning cartoon stuff. That was not... Yeah.
The line that pissed me off, though, was he went out with phone booths, like... Or he went out with phone booths and pork pie hats. And I was like, hey, I like pork pie hats.
I know, me too, but you know, you need to give them that. At a certain time, if you have the right setting, you look like a loser.
True.
Wait, isn't that why we like them? Because we make them look good?
It's creepier when you say it like that, but yes, I think so.
Okay. I want it to be creepy. Come on. Anyway, I want to come back to what you were saying, that he's not just Batman and Batman. And that's one of the thing that's interesting in the comics. Like, yes, Batman's a character, but at the same time, he's a non-character. It's everybody around him that made him make him interesting, you know?
I like her line back, though. Like, you know, it was just sex, for God's sakes. My line is, don't be a douche, Bats. I was pretty pissed off, though. An RPG apparently does the Batmobile in, or two of them.
An RPG? Oh, yeah.
No, yeah, when they took it out early on. I'm like, are you fucking serious?
Sorry, when you say RPG, I'm thinking of a game.
No. Rocket-propelled grenade. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Wait.
Yes, that Batmobile is just ready to be replaced. If she's going down that way, no. Come on.
That he pulls up and the tire's like... the Gotham storage, where the T and the O were out, are flashing, and it looked like Gotham's rage, was fucking awesome.
Awesome. That's amazing visual. I want that in a movie now.
Right, to basically say that Batman is Gotham's rage, as he's right there. It was so perfect.
Yeah, no, that the imagery, don't get me wrong, with everything I have, it's more like... as a gripe for the first part, it's not as much a story, like I said, the story they chose, but the way they chose to tell it. But the visuals are amazing. I'm sorry I call that a cartoon, or I'm saying I want to see that in a movie. This is a movie. I would like to see it in live action, but this is, you can forget it's a cartoon pretty fast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even if it's not the part you want or the beginning you want, even when the quote-unquote Joker... flips the Dark Knight, the, you know, Knight or King of Clubs, right as Batman sits down. And then you're like, oh, wait, that's not, uh-oh.
But do you like the origin of the Joker, the way they call the flashback, and you see, like, him as the Red Hood, and that gives you a little...
It gave you some, I don't know, basis to know why he was such a nut job.
But the way he tells it, even in the end, it says like I like to have my how do you say that? Not my identity, but my personality to be a Russian roulette. That's something that's interesting in the character. That even if he told you this, is that really, we saw this? Is that really what happened, or is that what he thinks happened at that moment? And it's gonna be actually something else.
Yeah, he's telling himself.
Yeah. So. There's so much depth in there, and the only thing I think that the fact that it's not live action did not help this movie is the train scene at the end with Gordon looking at all the picture of Barbara on the train, not the train but the roller coaster.
Okay, yes, the roller coaster.
Yeah, it was not dark and creepy enough.
Okay, still pretty dark and creepy. I like when Joker goes to buy that place, though. He's talking about garish, ugly, smells like piss. Can't tell if it's bums or rats, but it's piss.
You do a pretty good Mark Hamill Joker, man.
Okay, maybe. Thank you, I think. Actually, I really appreciate that comment, but...
Yeah, I think you're going to need to do an intro like that at some point. Great. But yeah, Aldi, and he kills the guy, if I remember correctly. Sorry, it's been a couple of days.
I don't have it in here, so I don't remember. It's been a few days.
And his old troop, because then you go, of course, with Batman through all the fights between everybody. Everybody is singular weird, and not just weird like, oh, they drew something weird. No, it's weird. It's just weird.
I want to be like Tara Strong, the chick who did Batgirl. She does so much voiceover. I want to be like her when I grow up.
Yeah, she did good. She's doing tons of stuff. I think she did it, and she's doing his voice in Injustice as well. And
I like. I think so too. A lot of games.
She did Batgirl in Injustice. That's what I mean.
Batgirl in Injustice too. Oh wait, the voice. Never mind. I like when Alfred's talking to Bats, and he says, "Our Bat says something like, how can two people hate each other so much?" It's like, you know, you're the same sides of the, or different sides of the same coin, you dummy.
Yeah, but that's Batman. He can't commit to anything.
Well, of course he can. He's fucking, my parents are dead. Oh my God. Wait, they're dead, but still, I don't know how I feel.
Yeah, there's still more to that. At this point, you have like a more grizzled Batman.
You talk about the Joker's origins. Is that how the Red Hood really started? With all the bunch of criminals and shit? Or is that just something we got for this one?
No, that was because the Red Hood was really a character in the old days. So yes, it's that story. It's like the at that was passed on to whatever criminal. They basically were ready to give to the cops in some ways, if you want.
Okay.
The diversion. If you look, Tim Burton kind of did it that way. You know, when they go to Axis Chemical at the start of the movie, and Jack Nicholson's like, "We've been sold," and they start the shoot where he's gonna become the Joker.
Okay.
He doesn't wear a red hood, but it's the same concept. You know, he's a fall guy, and they're sending he calls the police right there to go get him as the fall guy. So it's the same. It's the same kind of concept story that comes back. That's what was brilliant of Nolan. He never explained it, to just give you three options and take which one you want. Who cares?
I actually like that. Now that you pointed out, I never thought of it that way.
And it was inspired from that book, because again, that story, is it true? Is it not true? There's a lot of clues in that book telling you it is. There are a lot of clues telling you it's not. So,
what about the crazed bald BDSM midgets? Are those true or not?
Yes, those are in the book. It's okay. Alan Moore. Come on.
He talks about memory. I find the past such a worrying, anxious place. Yeah. So good. So good.
The Joker lives in the moment all the time. You know? It's about the right now.
I swear to God. Swear to me. I swear to you. And then all the midgets screaming, throw the book.
Yeah. That old exchange sequence was kind of okay. It's at the end when you see the Joker being very like, oh no, he didn't break.
True.
That's the thing, is that not everybody is the Joker. Not one very bad day does not break everyone.
Most people.
Which again comes back to Christopher Nolan. That's what he was doing in The Dark Knight. That was the same concept. He was trying to prove that one bad day anybody could turn. He could take the White Knight of Gotham and make him a serial killer, or take a boat full of people and make them, you know, explode another boat.
And the whole Batman scaring him off the railing part.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know.
See, when you know a little bit more of the source material, you're like, oh, wait, there's a lot of it out there.
Yeah, but who's source though? That's my point.
At this point, probably DC Comics circa 1939 to 1952.
Seriously? This book? Yeah. These were written that old?
No, that one is, that was in circa 1989, I think, or around that time.
He tinks everybody. There's no H there. That's how strongly he feels about it. Okay, so what's up with the two-headed chick? She's the one that throws knives. Wouldn't that fuck her aim up? Wouldn't she have like 4 or 6D? She could like see in the past and shit.
That's a good question. Would that throw her aim? Probably.
Two arms, two sets of eyes, Both telescopic, or what are they, radioscopic, telescopic? I don't know what's the word.
But. Yeah, but I guess you get to, if you live with it every day, you learn to cope with all this, you know?
I guess she would be a circus. They'd be a circus freak. God damn it, I just unproved my own point.
Yeah, so I think that's a good, interesting theory, but we've proven you wrong.
The wolf man that yelps after the face punch.
Yep.
That was fuck. I couldn't write that down fast enough.
They had fun with that. That was a little bit weird to me, knowing the book that well. Seeing these jokes, that was fun, but seeing them moving, that was...
Joker got caught monologuing?
Of course.
Well, yeah.
The Joker, the king of monologue.
Well, and then, you know, Bats offers to help Joker.
So, the big question. Does Batman kill him at the end?
I didn't get that. They laughed together, and then I said, what the fuck? And then it, like, went out, right?
They laugh together, it goes to black, and at the end, only Batman is laughing.
Are you fucking serious?
Yep. It's the same thing in the book. You can know where the ha 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 are, but at the end you end up like in Inception. Did he or did he not?
Shut the fuck up. Now I gotta watch the end of that again.
That's the old thing. It doesn't give you an answer. It's
so they laugh together for a little bit, they zoom out, goes to black, and then a second or two later it cuts to just Batman laughing.
Yeah. Because that wasn't the thing. Alan Moore, when he writes these things, he doesn't want to be stuck in continuity, so he does whatever the hell he wants. Okay,
but he does that sneakily.
So yeah, he did that. It did this that way, left that there, and left that book there. I don't think he thought that would be a classic. That book is 30 page. It's not. That's why they had to write their whole intro for this movie.
Well, what was Red Sun?
Oh God, that
60
was
60 page.
No, 120 or no, maybe 100. So 4x25
okay,
page.
Okay.
That would make sense.
God, I need to read this if it's fucking 30 pages. That's something I can get behind.
Oh, yeah. It's nothing. And it's mostly graphic. There's not a lot of text. So you're going to go through that in 15 minutes and then reread it and reread it and reread it.
Don't tell me what to do.
It's that. Well, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what you will do. It's totally touché. Different. But, yeah, it's... So that's why I'm saying when you see it animated, I think it's a good adaptation. And we're just talking about the book here. What from the book is on the screen? It's the same thing. Mark Hamill is doing an amazing job. Just it's uncanny how good he is as the Joker. You have Kevin Conroy, which you know all the actors that you're used to and. The graphics are good. I mean, it's not that cheap animation. So, yeah, they did a good job.
I was just like, are you defending it already? And you haven't even said, should we rate it? Like, I don't.
Yeah, I think I got into that all of a sudden. I mean, I really love that
my
part.
Notes,
but
my notes are pretty well done, dude. So we can fire that off. If you got some other shit, let's go for that quick.
Okay. So for Batman, the Killing Joke. Are you going legendary, legends of its time, cult legend, awesome, entertaining, mayable, forgettable, abysmal, or Spring Breaker Islander with a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, or tingle?
Oh my God. We really got to delete some of those qualifiers. I'll go first because you let all your breath out trying to read that out. Jeez, I'll say it was at least a solid awesome, if not lightly I'll say a solid awesome. I had a lot of fun with it. I'm not a big fan of DC. I never was. I never grew up with it. But these anime seem to be more entertaining to me and more awesome than most of the DC universe as a whole in real movies. So I'm good with the voice actors. I'm good with where they take it. I'm good with the dark. I'm good with however it works. It's fun. As soon as we checked in, you were talking about how the voice actors were so good. I didn't need them to be the people I remembered. They were good enough to be those people right away. The art was exactly what I thought it should be or what felt right. And I bought in exactly from the go. So yeah, solid awesome. Sir Wing?
I'm going to give it a cult legend. So they did this adaptation of this book with the people I would like to write it, with the people that I would like to voice it, with the kind of reverence to adaptation that I would like to see, and they did it perfectly. This could have been legendary. Why cult legend? Well, because of that first half. I think this is something that's going to be remembered as that time that DC did their adaptation very, very literal from a book, and it was R and all that stuff. But I don't think it got the recognition that I thought it would get. Like when they did, I have First Class in my head. That's not Year One. When they did Batman Year One, where everybody was raving about it, it was very, very
what
good.
What about like, Red Hood? Adaptation. What about Red Hood? Didn't Red Hood kill it though too?
Yes,
because I really like that.
Red Hood did kill it too. So you know they did these, and this one should have hit a little bit more. But that old controversy and the start and all the start of that movie, which made it kind of a drag for a lot of people, did not help this one go up to a legendary. So I'm giving it cult legend because people, geeks are gonna pass that around for years.
Would you? Okay, quick question. Would you have been happier if it would have only been 45 minutes or whatever and just the end part? Just the part that you knew, just the part you quote-unquote wanted.
Yeah. You know what, actually?
There's Blood the Last Vampire is a really good anime, and it's 45 minutes. So would you have been satisfied?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think so.
Okay.
And they could have wrote that the other one and, you know, air it after
okay.
or
now,
something.
Now, can I ask you as a fan, if you take that out of there, would it still be the cult legend? Would you be able to pass it around to even idiots like me who don't know the background of that particular flavor of time?
I think so. Because you don't need to know that Barbara Gordon was Batgirl for this to be effective. She's Commissioner Gordon's daughter. That's all you need to know.
Oh, yeah, and I think in the mythology, I still know that she was her.
Yeah, so. But even for someone that doesn't know, for that particular story, all you need to know is that she's Commissioner Gordon's
True.
Daughter.
You know what? You're right. Okay. I don't rescind my question, but I'm glad you defended it.
But that was a good question. Yes, I would have taken a 45 minutes of that. And give me that start as a bonus episode on the DVD, you know?
Okay, I can dig that. Last word.
I'm going to go with laugh.
I'm going to go with Batgirl. This has been episode, holy shit, we're recording again, of Legends Podcast, Batman the Killing Joke. I'm Beef saying, I hope some of you are still listening.
Yeah, me too. I'm Wing saying, please stay. We're back. We're back.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com where you'll find all our contact information as well as our other shows. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.com where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legends Stream Canada or Gunna Geek Networks. No infringement is intended, and no infringements are intended.